Scripture reading this morning, coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 1 through 3, Hebrews, chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
It is truly a blessing to have the opportunity to preach, to teach, to fellowship with brethren of a like precious faith. Hope we pray, hope we never take these opportunities for granted. I hope that the past few months have demonstrated that we should not take it for granted and that we ought to be looking to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for our strength. What a blessing it is to know that we can go to the Word of God and that the Word of God is going to give us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And so as the scripture was being read, I was contemplating some of the background of the book of Hebrews. This morning, I want us to talk about looking unto Jesus during a pandemic. As I was thinking about some of the gems in the book of Hebrews, and thinking about the things that our nation is going through, yea, the church, caused me to think about different books in the Old Testament, books like Nehemiah, books like Daniel, books like Zechariah. It caused me to think about the book of Romans, Corinthians, especially at that juncture where Paul told the church at Corinth about the present distress. And it caused me to think about how the pulpit must address certain things at the appropriate time. You don't want me up here preaching on things that are not relevant. Why? Because we live in the now. And so, therefore, we need to hear lessons that's going to help us in the now. You don't need me to talk about things that took place 20 years ago or even last year. We need to be able to go to the Word of God and receive the help and the wisdom needed in order to deal with things of today. As I was considering the phrase, looking unto Jesus, I've been pondering that for years, of course, but especially this week. As we consider that particular phrase and think about the background of the book of Hebrews, you remember how the people of God had came out of Judaism. Of course, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, nailed the law to the cross, Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14, Ephesians 2, 11 through 15. We know that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." We know that when he said it was finished, the old law was done. Judaism was done. It had fulfilled its purpose. Therefore, no one is under the law to Moses. We're not obligated to keep the Ten Commandment laws even today. We're under the law to Christ. And so here, the children of God, Christians, who are following Jesus Christ are threatening on going back into Judaism. Hence, we see 13 chapters of the Hebrews writer giving evidence after evidence after evidence that Jesus Christ is superior. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Melchizedek. He is superior. He's the one that we ought to be listening to. Understandably so, that the children of God who had come out of Judaism experiencing that for over 1,500 years, we know that you can get used to a system. They got used to the system of Judaism. However, that system was to bring them to Christ, Galatians 4 and verse 4. And so we think about all of the things that the Hebrews writer is bringing up, and then he brings up chapter 11, and he starts off by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes through 40 verses, of individuals who, because of the evidence that God had given them, they moved with godly fear. And so we consider that evidence that the Hebrews writer is telling them that now you need to be looking unto Jesus. God has given us the evidence that he is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one that we ought to be looking to. And because of that, friends, you can have great and strong faith. Now, I stopped and I thought about that. Because the phrase looking unto Jesus, for my Bible students, for those who like to delve a little deeper into the Greek language, that phrase is only used one time. One time that phrase is used. That makes it very significant that the Hebrews writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is the only one that used this particular phrase. And Brother Nate, this phrase literally means to cast or to gaze, to turn one's eyes, one's mind upon, not looking at anything else. Now, you think about all of the pressure. Now, listen. That the children of God, the Christians, were going through roughly between, I want to say, maybe the 60s into about 68, 69 AD. We know that the temple was still standing at this particular time. So here they were receiving this pressure to go back into Judaism, this familial pressure, this family pressure. And so the pressure was raging strong. And here we find the Hebrews writer says, look to Jesus. But then it caused me to think about this. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 30 through 40. Hope you have a little time this morning. Because there are some things that we need to be focusing in on during this pandemic. And I venture to say it'll be here for a while. So put your seatbelts on, brethren. Put your seatbelts on. We're going to have this mindset around us for a while. Don't think it's going away. It's not going away no time soon. Notice what the Bible here says. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to speak of or tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued or struggled against kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Did you hear that? Out of weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the foreigners, the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, but notice these who were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yea, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Now, friends, think about this. At this particular time here, the Hebrews writer said that these who operated by faith, the world was not worthy of their lives being in the world. And the liberal mindset, and I'm not talking about in the church only, but the liberal mindset is that the Christian, well, he or she is really not all that. I'm really nothing. Yes, we are something. For those who truly have faith and are really strong in their faith and striving to be faithful, the world is not worthy. It's true for them, it's true for us. And notice what he goes on to say. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made whole or perfect apart from us. Now notice chapter 12. Therefore, with all of these things being said, the Hebrews writer says, now focus upon this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, martyrs, those who have given their lives over because of the faith, whether under the patriarchal system or under the Mosaic system, yea, the Christian dispensation, here we're surrounded by those who had died in faith. And notice what it goes on to say. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, Hebrews 3:19, the sin of unbelief, which so easily entangles or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. Friends, did you hear that word? Endured. The Greek word there is the idea of remaining strong under. Endured the cross. That cross was not easy for our Lord. The scourging wasn't easy for our Lord. The mocking wasn't easy for our Lord. But he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Now notice what the Hebrews writer says. Now, I need you to really wrap your mind around him. Think about him. Keep your mind on him. We get in more trouble as people when we take our minds off Jesus. I'm not talking about the person of Jesus when he was upon the earth. I'm talking about the words of Jesus, which you cannot disconnect the two. And so here he says, for consider him who endured, there is that word again, endured such hostility, hatred, animosity from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let me illustrate this with the Bible. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Here we understand that we have a responsibility to keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, guess what's going to happen? The same thing that happened to Peter when Jesus told Peter to come, when he petitioned Jesus Christ to come to him on the water. You remember the winds and the waves, they were boisterous. And Peter says, Lord, bid me come. Notice verse number 22 and 23. Notice what the Bible here says. Immediately Jesus made his disciples, Matthew 14, get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The very thing that was giving them troubles, Jesus was walking on it. I think we put too much power in our own hands. The very thing that was giving the disciples a problem, Jesus is out there walking on top of it. Jesus defying the laws of gravity, walking on water. He's walking on the sea, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Notice where Peter's eyes were upon, Nate. It was on Jesus. So as he steps out of the boat onto the water, his eyes is on Jesus. Now watch the Bible illustrate the point of Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. Notice what the Bible here says. But when he saw, notice where his eyes are now. When he saw that the winds were boisterous. Question. Peter, where did you go wrong? When I took my eyes off Jesus and started looking at the winds that was boisterous. When did the Hebrew Christians go wrong? When they took their eyes off Jesus and started looking at all of the pressure that was around them. Where do we go wrong? Boy, this is good preaching right here. Y'all might not like it, but it's still true. You see the illustration? You see the application? When do we go wrong? When we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of Jesus, and we're free game for the devil. And here, when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, notice, he was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried out. At least he had enough sense to say, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus didn't leave him by himself. He stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? Got in the boat, and the wind ceased. Let's make some application. Because looking to Jesus requires us to do a few things. Number one, looking unto Jesus requires us to see Jesus as a praying example. We spent almost 45 minutes last week talking about prayer. This week I want us to just spend a few more minutes because I told myself, Mike, this lesson is more for you than probably anybody else. Because if you're not careful, you'll start looking at things around you and you'll take your eyes off Jesus. You'll start thinking about what people are saying, the actions towards you, the hostile environments, the political movement and the political tug of wars. And the next thing you know, you're off track. And so the more that I thought about Jesus, and the more that I thought about how he endured the cross, how he endured the hostility, Jesus is telling us to be focused on the same thing that he was focused on. What was that? The cross. If something would have caused Jesus to be distracted from going to the cross, friends, all of us will be in our sins today. If we take our eyes off the cross, friends, we'll fall into sin 100% of the time. Jesus in Mark chapter 1 verses 35 through verse number 39 is an example of a praying man. He's our example. Friends, I know that I can pray more. I'm probably pretty sure you can too. Jesus' relationship with the Father was amazing. That it seems as if the first thing that he did in the morning was contact heaven. I know sometimes this thing here, it lights up, and the next thing you know, it seems like I'm contacting brethren before I'm contacting heaven. Sometimes we contact people before we talk to God. Friends, we have to be careful with that. If we're going to be focused and keep our eyes on the Lord like we're supposed to, we need to contact heaven before we contact anyone. Here we see in verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now notice this verse here. When they found him, they said to him, everyone's looking for you. Jesus didn't even respond to that. Notice how Jesus responded. He said to them, let us go to the next town that I may preach there, because for this purpose I came forth. You know, if we was to ignore people like that, they'd probably get upset with us. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Hey, let's go to the next town. There's a reason why I'm here. You know what I connected prayer to right there in that context? To his mission, his purpose. Friends, looking unto Jesus, that means that we need to stay focused on the mission, the purpose. Why are we here? Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 12 and 13, we're here to glorify God. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is man's all. Friends, our prayer life must be connected to the mission that God has given us, not our own personal one. Here, we understand that our prayer life is going to aid us in the mission of God. Prayer is going to keep us grounded. It's going to keep us focused. Kind of reminds me of 1 John 5, 13 and 14, that when we pray according to his will. We've got to stay focused. But I want us to take in consideration of Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, we're not going to read that for time's sake, but Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane here. He's about to go take on the sin of the world, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. Can we take a time out real quick and think about that? Jesus is about to go to the cross. Jesus is about to go take on the sin of the world. He that knew no sin is about to be made sin for us. Now he's about to be separated from his Father because he's doing the will of his Father. He's about to take on sin. And so all of this is in his mind. And so as he is in this particular prayer posture and he's talking to the Father, he is in great anguish. He's troubled. But now look at Luke chapter 22, because this is a parallel text. In Luke chapter 22, starting at verse number 44, notice what the Bible here says. Keep in mind where Jesus was. Keep in mind what he was going through. Jesus is our example. Keep in mind what we're going through. Christians all over the world, especially in those particular places right now where they're hindered from worshiping God, even right now. They're hindered. We ought to be praying for our brethren. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9. Oh, our brethren are going through some things on the other side of the world. Let us not be selfish and just think about us, but let's think about our brethren. What can we do to help our brethren? How can we strengthen them and encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might right now? In Luke chapter 22, starting at verse number 44, notice Jesus is in the garden. I just want to read this verse. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Friends, did you hear that? The stress that Jesus Christ went through and the stress that we go through doesn't even compare to what our Lord went through. As a matter of fact, it would be the Hebrews writer who would say in Hebrews 12 and verse number 4, we have not yet resisted unto blood. And so with that being the case, we know that we're going through some difficult times, and it's tough times right now, but not as tough as what Jesus went through. And so it just causes us to think about these testy and hostile times that we're living in and how people are lying left and right and how even our own brethren are arguing and fighting with one another and there's no harmony sometimes.
Mama didn't put up no fighting in our house. You know why she said y'all don't fight? Y'all family. Mama used to say, boy, don't you leave this house, act like you ain't got no home training. You know what the Lord teaching us? We need to act like we got some home training. Brethren need to stop fighting. There's a way to disagree with each other. We don't treat each other like you're trash. We're made in the image of God. We're made in the image of Christ. We're brethren. We understand the anguish that our Lord went through. And so we stop and we consider those great words. God wants us to be a people who fight with the word of God, who pray to make sure that we're going to him and to him alone. But then I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through verse 42, familiar passage of scripture. You know what we can learn right now as we look to Jesus during a pandemic? We can learn to go the extra mile. We can learn to go the extra mile. We can learn how to look at one another, even those who we need to resist, in a way that it is glorifying God. In verse 38, he says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." Notice what Jesus says. "But I tell you not to resist." The word "resist" there is a very powerful word because it's the idea of withstanding, fighting against. He says, don't fight against an evil person. The reason why I bring this particular point up, because there's a lot of evil going on around us. And we, as children of God, must maintain righteousness in the midst of all of the evil. We have to be like Michael the archangel, who durst not to say a railing accusation against the devil. I can't act like the devil to defeat the devil. In looking unto Jesus, I always got to maintain my character and my composure. And I need to be that man that people can look at, that woman that people can look at and say, that person is just like Jesus. And notice what Jesus says. "But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, hit him on the right cheek." Is that what your Bible says? That ain't what that says. Even though, you know, we live in a virtual world right now. When people hit us online, we hit them right back with them virtual words. I had to take Jesus' words and apply them to today. Oh, no, we got a whole bunch of behind-the-screen gangsters today. Boy, they'll talk big mess behind that screen. On that keypad, that keyboard, they're sitting there, they're talking big stuff to you. That's when you say, "Why don't you come on outside with all that?" We don't talk like that. Amen. But you know what we do? We hit them right back. That's not right. We got to be able to make application in 2020 with the words that Jesus said 2,000 years ago. It's okay for someone to say something and call you something and you not respond in a way that's hostile. One preacher said this to me one time when I first obeyed the gospel, Brother Don. He said, if someone calls you out of your name, ask yourself, is that you? If that's not you, don't answer. That's true. We need to teach our children that. We have to teach one another those things. So what? Someone might get the upper hand on us. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Romans 12, verse 19. I'll take care of it. But no, I want to get back. No, Jesus is telling us, they slap you on the right, give them the other one. So then the operative question I have next is, Brother Stephen, what happens when I run out of cheeks? You keep turning. I know somebody is going to be thinking, Brother Mike wants people to be a doormat. No, I don't. But I bet you some people look at Jesus as one, and he was a man. But notice what the Bible says. Look at verse number 41. "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two." Jesus being the example of going the extra mile. Friends, we need to learn how to go the extra mile right now. Right now, people in our nation needs us. Right now, our brethren needs us, which means that it may require a little bit more time from us, a little bit more time to counsel, a little bit more money spent on helping people. We may have to spend a little bit more energy with situations and circumstances. Need to go the extra mile, being a little bit more cordial. little nicer? How about more transparent? Friend, right now is the time for the Christian to shine. With the world being as dark as it is, it's time for people to look unto Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 15. We have an opportunity to be a little bit more patient with the emotional and the non-emotional. With those who are emotional and those who are nonchalant. Can't be sitting on the bench. We got to stay in the game. Right now is the time to shine. Right now is the time to make sure that I get as much of God's word in me. Because friends, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. Last but definitely not least. Looking unto Jesus as one being crucified. You think about the songs that Brother Hedick led us in. You think about things that Jesus went through. Take a little perusal with me. Matthew 16, real quick. In Matthew 16, verse 21 and 22, can you imagine knowing that you got to go to the cross and be mistreated? Can you imagine knowing that you're going to be killed? Can you imagine knowing that you're an innocent man, done nothing wrong to no one? As a matter of fact, everything that you wanted to do and had to do and needed to do was for the best interest of someone else. Here, Matthew tells us, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples. Can you imagine what was going on in the mind of the disciples? That he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. These were religious people that he was going to be suffering by and be killed. Raised the third day. But now notice chapter 17. Look at verse 22 and 23. Matthew says that in chapter 16. Jesus says this in chapter 17. And I found it very interesting as the context is progressing. More information is being given. More clarity, more detail of what Jesus was going to go through. Friends, we got to be looking to Jesus. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed." Now he throws in Judas into the hands of men, and they will kill him. Now he goes back to the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. And the third day, notice the hope here, he will be raised. And they were exceeding sorrow. Look at chapter 20. Now Jesus gives more details. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, Jesus takes the context and he gives more clarity to what he was saying earlier. Can you imagine? Can you imagine knowing the type of death that you're going to die? Can you imagine the scourging and the mocking and the beating that you're going to take? And you didn't do anything wrong. Can you imagine that? Now, Jesus going up, verse 17, to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But here's the hope. And the third day he will rise again." So as I was thinking about that, I said, tough time calls for tough people who have spiritual mindsets. People with the right character. People who know that I'm going to go through some things down here, but I'm going to hang in there and be the child of God that God wants me to be. Think about the cross. Think about the cross. The world that we live in today is going to become worse and worse, as Paul said. Please don't let anyone lie to you and come to you with this Jeremiah, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. It is what it is. I'm not being negative. I'm being real. It's already on the horizon. It's like the children of God, the Christians,
And when Jesus told them that the destruction of Jerusalem was going to take place in Matthew 24, and he told them how the Roman was going to be surrounding the Jerusalem and the temple. And he says, if you do this, you will escape and you'll be okay. Friends, they're already talking. And as Brother Michael Light said, not to bring up his name as any type of validation, but all of this is against Christians. But you got to be a Christian. You got to remain a Christian. Keep looking to the cross. And the things that we're going through is nothing different than what they went through in the first century. So even as the children of God, we got to focus upon the cross. Jesus is on the cross for some 6 hours after they mocked him and beat him and they crucified him. He's on the cross. Yet while on the cross, this man here, this great man, this powerful man, this godly man, he did some godly things even while on the cross. Can you imagine you bearing your cross as you're supposed to? Matthew chapter 16. Even on the cross, Jesus sought to make people's lives better. Even on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 38 and following, you got the thief on the cross. And here, this thief, as he is mocking Jesus, he mocks Jesus to the point that the other one, other thief, the other malefactor, says he done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Luke 23 and verse number 43, today you'll be with me in paradise. Even on the cross, Jesus is doing something for another man. He said, as I'm on my way out, I'm going to do something great. And he did, even on the cross. We find Jesus forgiving sin. Mark 2 and verse number 5 through 9, he had the power to forgive sin on earth. On the cross, Jesus provides for his mother. In John 19, verses 25 through 27, he tells his mother, behold thy son. He tells John, behold thy mother. Take care of my mom. Even on the cross. What does that teach us? That even in the midst of the turmoil and the pressure and the pandemic and all of the problems that come our way, and it seems like we're on this cross, we need to be doing good. Got to stay focused on the cross ourselves. Even on the cross, Jesus finds the strength to talk to his Father in heaven. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. My God, why have y'all forsaken me? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Friends, we got to look to Jesus. And you got to ask yourself this. If the chips were down and I got to give my life up for the Christ, am I ready now? Brother Mike, that's not going to happen. Better wake up. Better wake up. It's already here. Whether you believe it or not, it's already here. It's time to be focused. Teach your children about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Teach them how serious it is to be a Christian. Because people are already mad at the Lord. Be focused. You would rather hear it from the pulpit than to hear it from somewhere else. Brother Royce, we don't want to be somewhere and say, I wish Brother Mike would have said something. We're saying it. Let's open our eyes and let's see what's going on around us. This is our time to be going to talk to people about the gospel. We got to save some people right now. Why? Because men and women are in their sins. And the only way they're going to be saved is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Maybe you're not a child of God. Yet you've been looking to Jesus. You've been reading your Bible. You've been considering a better life. You've been considering morality. You've been considering the things that have been surrounding us and you want to study. We've been blessed here to have multiple conversions.
I'm not talking about baptisms. I'm talking about conversions, people who are converted to Christ. We're thankful for that. You want to be converted? You want to be a child of God? You want to be a member of the Church of Christ? This is what you need to do. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from sin. You must be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. And you must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to the Church of Christ. He will wash away all of your sins. He will give you all spiritual blessings. He'll give you a family. It's the church. Be faithful, even to the point of death. God will do something amazing. He'll give you the crown of life. So maybe a child of God. You need special prayer. Maybe you haven't been looking to Jesus as close as you need to be. Maybe you've gotten caught up with all of the political hostility around us. Friends, be careful. Be careful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.